Welcome back to another episode of the Pitch Podcast. We are smack bang into the 23-24 Isuzu Ute A-League men's season. And, well, it's safe to say we need 3 points. It's a big game this weekend against Western Sydney. We've got a lot of big games coming up. And we love beating the Wanderers. We beat them in the grand final in 15-16. And we'd love to do that again at Hindmarsh Stadium. A man who's had a very significant role at Adelaide United this season and wears the smallest shin guards I've ever seen, which I'll talk about a little bit later on. Giuseppe Bovolino, welcome to the Pitch Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
What do people call you? What's it, just Bova?
Bova, yeah.
Mate, I'm stoked to speak with you because you made your debut in October coming off the bench, and now you are basically one of the first selected at the club, which I'm sure has come around pretty quickly for you. We'll get to your story in a moment. Let's reflect on the Sydney FC match because it was a disappointing result in the end. It was great to see Javi Lopez come on and score a goal, but from a team point of view, I feel like we're in a bit of a rut. We're playing better, but we're not getting the points that we need. What's the perspective from the team?
Yeah, exactly right. I think we had a good reaction against Sydney, our performance-wise, and especially in that second half. We came out firing, playing out the back for well. But it's like you said, the results. But I think if we keep doing what we're doing, putting our heads down, the boys have been working the hardest I've ever seen at training. Everyone's focusing, pushing each other. I think the points are going to come eventually.
Can I ask from a player's point of view? We understand the way that football works. We understand how January works. But as a player, is it hard at times to know that you're going to lose players? So we farewelled over the past 6 to 12 months. So Craig goes, we know that Nestori's leaving. Nestori didn't play on the weekend. We know that Hawley's gone, Gauchy's gone, Popper's gone, and Bernardo's gone. Steph comes back in and so does Yaya. But when you lose core players, when you're part of the playing group, is that also a bit challenging though, as much as understanding that it is football?
Exactly, yeah. It's definitely challenging, but like you can look at it from a different point of view. Like all our goals are to get overseas, you know. So obviously we're happy for the boys that have done that, has achieved that. And like you said, it's disappointing to lose them, but it gives opportunity for somebody else. Someone, say like Panna comes in, is doing really well at the moment, gives opportunity to somebody else. And it also gives us like a goal as well to see like they're doing it, they're going overseas. Like we're going to push ourselves to go overseas as well. Sort of thing.
Is that a major goal for a lot of the players? Like, we need to get overseas? Or I spoke to Nesta about this before the buy-in deal. Do you sometimes look at overseas and now think we have to be strategic and we have to make the right overseas decision? Because, yeah, it's all well and good to go overseas, but you can also get lost in the system.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, you've seen over the past years, especially like Melbourne City, Sydney FC players have gone overseas and come back. You know, like we try not to think like you said, we've got to try find the right move at the right time. But you never know, like speaking to some of the older players, when's the right time? It's football. You don't know what's going to happen next week, tomorrow, you know. So it's just taking day by day sort of thing, and just having that, when that good opportunity comes, you got to take it.
Your journey, mate, has been incredible. And I always say this to you, your work rate is something which I absolutely love. I love watching the work rate of Stephen Mork, and you are right up there, if not the best in the team. Is that something you pride yourself on, how hard you work and how hard you recover from a run, whether it's defensively, then you've got to be up the other end and take part in a cross or receive a cross?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like it's really like obviously started, you know, in the youth team. Like Edson's always been pushing me because I've always loved to get a field, score a goal, and he's always been pushing me, you know, get forward. But then you always got to have that determination, as much as you want to score, to get back and defend in. So like you said, I think it's an attribute that I have, that I got a big work rate, and I love doing it, especially like not just for myself, and it's for the team as well, most importantly. But yeah, I would love to get forward as much as I can and defend as much as I can.
You could also last 90 minutes, which is quite rare. So are you having a look at a lot of the statistics or the numbers of how much you're running per game? Can you share that with us? What your kind of average is of how many Ks you cover per game?
My average is like around like 11 and a half, 12, can go like 12 and a half, but around that point. But yeah, it's also a lot of high speed running because, like, say, someone like a midfielder is very like just move, not like not obviously running, but not as high speed for someone like us, like a fullback or a winger. It's very like getting up the field and getting back, like it's a lot more high speed. But you know, it's good to have like people like Django around the club to help us in the that area, that field. And when we're overloading or deloading, and helping us through pre-season has been the biggest thing, you know, working hard. So I think it's just followed into the season.
What does that mean, overloading and deloading? So are you working through different structures of your pre-season and in-season to make sure that you're not putting too many Ks in an area which isn't the game? Because that needs to be where you get the most energy, right?
Exactly, like... obviously, pre-season training, we would smash ourselves because you want to get the fittest possible for the season. But somewhere now in the season, you don't want to have like a big session on a Friday and you've got a game on a Saturday. So having that balance, I'm not doing as much high-speed running or just a little bit to get it clocking, getting ready, not to overdo it for the weekend.
You guys also take a lot of care of yourselves. I ran into you at Peak, the performance facility. There was yourself, Panna, Johnny Yull, Luka Jovanovic, all standing in an ice bath together. Is this now, because you're 19, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For players of your age, how much education are you getting on recovery and making sure your body's right? Because I reckon 15 years ago, there wasn't this kind of setup when it came to the accessibility to ice baths or the contrast baths.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Like, you speak to someone who's towards the end of their career, like, didn't have no much knowledge about recovery. And, you know, obviously now getting now what to eat properly, you know, what to do on your days off and whatnot. But we try to get as much as information as we can. Like you just said, we were at Peak, trying to do those, the hot warm bath and cold ice bath at the same time to get the blood flow moving and, you know, getting yourself ready for the next day. Not as long as just for the game, as well as like for your career, you want to have like the longest career you want to have, so you need to look after your body because that's, you know, your feet, your...
How long did you last in the cold one for? I did one yesterday and I was almost crying about 2 minutes in and I went right up to my neck. I hated it. The first time, it's real hard. Your body gets used to it, but it's not fun.
No, not at all. Well, I think we went there once with a youth team maybe like 2 years ago, and the first time I got in, I was screaming, but it was really helpful. The guy there who was helping out, telling us to do our breathing, so like in, out, and now we went in 2 minutes cold, 2 minutes hot, 2 minutes cold, 2 minutes hot. So just the breathing helps a lot, you know, but the first time, obviously.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not fun at all. You and Panna received scholarships at around the same time, I think. Mm-hmm. Can you talk through your kind of football journey and then what the scholarship means, and then you get into kind of senior contract territory. Mm. So where did you play your junior football?
So I started off at Western Strikers in under eights. I played 2 years of under eights, and then I went to Croydon from under nines to under 12s, and then I got picked up in the state FFSA program.
Yep.
Thing. So I was there from 12 to up to around 16, and where I started to move into the youth team sort of thing in the reserves. But yeah, so just moved from the 18, because 18s is still NTC.
Mm-hmm.
Then the reserves is LA United Youth and then first team. So I was maybe like 2020, I was a bit of a half 18s, half resies, and then 2021 I was full-time in the youth program. And then you get a youth contract maybe like the year after, and then, like you said, signed the scholarship last year with Panna.
What does that mean, though? The scholarship, I know that the clubs can sign up, I think, to 16 players or whatever on scholarships. So that means you will get paid. It's a different kind of wage than it is to a professional contract, but that means you have the same contact hours and everything as everyone else?
Yeah, so it's pretty much like the base contract, like you said, it's for, I think, I'm not sure, you have to be like under a certain age, like 23 or something, And like you said, you can have up to 16 of them. So it's like an it's obviously because we're training full time, you know, we can't work another job. So it's like we train full time and here's some money of us, you know,
yep.
to get by. But yeah, like you said, obviously our goals are to get onto the pro contract, but yeah.
So are you still on scholarship now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so then, yeah, as you said, the dream is to, once this season finishes, for them to elevate you onto a professional contract.
Yeah.
And does that work in a way that you have to play a certain amount of games, or they just look at you and go, actually, you can be on scholarship for this amount of time and then we're ready to take it up a notch?
I think I sort of both. Like, I'm still new to this, all this stuff, because this is my first season. So I'm not too sure about, like, if it clicks over or not, but that's something for them to sort out with.
It's pretty surreal that it's your first season and you've gone from scholarship. Did you play in the NPL Grand Final?
Yeah.
So you've won a Grand Final, which was massive, and let's be honest, a lot of the teams around South Australia didn't want that to happen.
Not at all.
A lot of the teams around South Australia want to go out and beat Adelaide United, and that was an amazing victory that happened really quickly at Jepps Cross. And then you're playing consistent football, so you're not just making up the numbers. Have you had a moment to stop and reflect and go, wow, it's been a pretty crazy 6 months, or is this something you do at the end of the season?
No, like, of course, like, you look back, obviously making... Obviously, first of all, winning the grand final, then making my debut in the cup, and then making my first star and whatnot. But, you know, there's times to reflect on it, but it's like, if, you know, this has happened in 6 months or so, like, I wonder what can happen more. So it's just giving them more that motivation to keep working hard and training, because this is how far I want to keep going, sort of thing.
You've got a great haircut. And I've noticed you've got some lines in your head. So what's the routine of players? Do you have haircuts the day before a game? Do some of you have haircuts on game day? Because no one ever goes out there with bad-looking hair, apart from James Delianov, who's growing his. But I've never seen anyone go out there looking like they need a haircut. So this has to be all strategic.
So this is a funny thing, right? So before I got my scholarship, I started an apprenticeship in hairdressing. So most of the boys in our team, I do cut their hair.
Really?
Yeah, and I cut my own as well. So I do it like, we got a game tomorrow, so I did it yesterday. So 2 days, the day before. No, I've never...
How do you do the back of your head?
So I've got this mirror, so it's like, it's still on the front, and then the two sides like move.
Yeah.
So you look in one to see the other, sort of thing. So the first time I did it, oh, it was terrible. But once I get used to it, because everything's backwards when you have to do yourself. But once I got confident doing my mates, then I started doing myself. And
are you going to start charging the boys to do their hair? Because you can make a little side hustle out of this.
That's right. Some of the boys, they keep pushing me, like, bring the clips to training. I was like, nah, I'll see. So I got this little, like, set up at home, you know, whenever the boys want a haircut. I try not to now, because obviously once I signed my scholarship, I've stopped a lot. So to focus on football, which I've always wanted to.
You going to do, or what were you doing if the scholarship didn't happen? Did you think about studying and just playing football, or is, how far were you actually down that path?
Yeah, so I started my apprenticeship in hairdressing, but look, I enjoyed it. It was good fun, but football is the only thing I've always wanted to do. Like, I think hairdressing was something that, like, not an escape, but I had to try to do something, you know, because I was sort of almost about to finish school, so I had to pick something, sort of thing. And then football was the only thing on my mind, but I enjoy cutting hair because it's a good skill to have as well. But football was really the only thing I ever wanted to do.
I've hated talking about hair so much because I just shave my head in the shower and just go by feel. It's horrible. A couple more questions to finish off. One serious one and then one I've always wanted to ask you. I want to ask about Nesta. And what I want to ask about Nesta is, are you sometimes grateful that you're not in his position? Because every time he goes near the ball, and you're a little bit older than him, but the pressure that he's under would be really challenging on and off the pitch. You're not under that pressure at the moment. Do you sometimes have a bit of gratitude that you don't have to deal with that intense scrutiny at your age, so you can learn your craft without the whole world watching?
Exactly, but us, like, obviously, like you said, it's a lot of pressure for him as well. But I think more, especially when we play at home, it's not so much pressure for him. I think it's like he wants to go out there and enjoy himself. Mm. But obviously, like he's, like you said, a bit younger, especially when we go away and you see people to say things. Like, it doesn't get into his head, but I think, you know, obviously it's not nice for a kid because you need people around you to help you with guide through those things. But at home, I think it's the best thing for him because I think we have one of the best fans in the league and the best stadiums. So it's a real loud noise, obviously, when he gets the ball at home, and it gives him that motivation to do what he does, you know. Or he's got a smile on his face when he's playing, you know. But it's been hard this season, but I think, you know, Nesta's Nesta. He's something special, so I think he'll get through it.
How many of your family members or friends ask for tickets each game?
There's a couple. But, nah, whoever I can get tickets for, I do. And then, you know, if someone misses out 1 week, then I try to give it to the next.
Have you had a moment playing against anyone from any opposition where you've gone, wow, actually playing the A-League here because I'm standing on this person?
Yeah, exactly. Like my first A-League debut was against Melbourne City when we won 6-0. So that was like a real surreal moment. I came on and it was 2-0. And it was almost like a video game. Like, you come on, you see like McLaren and you're like, wow. Like, but once you know, had a first couple of touches, maybe not so great. But then once you get into the game, then it's like, okay, look, I'm here now. So I've got to do my job.
Mm. All right, last question. I'm just a guy sitting on the sidelines, right? You've scored a goal before, which is wonderful. Sometimes it looks like when you go up for a header, you don't expect it, and it looks like the ball hits your head at the last second and you're about to fall over. Like, it's actually surprised you that it's hit you because your head jolts back so far. Your goal was very similar.
Yeah.
Am I just seeing things here, or does sometimes your head only realize at the last second you've got a header?
Nah, look, that's another heading for me is another attribute. I'll back myself even through NPL. Even as a kid, I've always loved the header. I've never, like, backed out of it. So I think I enjoy using my head, but I don't know about if it just hits me. Sometimes it could, but majority of the time, I think I know what I'm doing.
Well, mate, I love watching you play, mm-hmm. and that's it's exciting because I know that you're going to be here for a long time unless you choose to go overseas or whatever, but you've brought this energy alongside the other kids as well with Panna and when Johnny plays, mm-hmm. and when Lucas fit, Ethan, like, we're... I love this team because we've got South Australian kids who deserve to be playing there, mm-hmm. and the way that you work is so, so impressive. What the hell is with the shin guards? Why are they so small, mate? I had to ask when I saw you play for the first time, who's this kid? Like, wait, is Bobba that good a footballer? He doesn't need shin guards? And they're like, nah, they're like Tic Tacs. What's going on? Have you ever been collected in the shins or what?
Touch wood, no. But it's also like, because obviously, like, I have to do a lot of running, and that's why I wear my socks low as well, because I feel like it doesn't affect me as much. So the smaller shin pads, the lower socks, it sort of helps with the running.
So what if you on Saturday get collected in the shins, and touch wood you don't, you look at me, right? And I'll look at you and I'll say, fault. I told you so, bro. Mate, good luck on the weekend. Thanks for joining us on the pitch. And I hope you have an outstanding career. But congratulations for this year. And, of course, what's going to happen beyond. Well done.
No, thank you very much for having me.